God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Oh, and I've pulled up the wrong format, apparently. Oops. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. Just a couple housekeeping things. We will be recording the audio only portion of this meeting. So no video will be published. And if you'd like to keep updated on our website, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net and you can get all of the updates for speakers and when recordings are up. All right. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And real quick, is there anybody here in their first 30 days that would like to welcome their, you're able to unmute any newcomers? All right. Bear with me for a second, y'all. I accidentally pulled up our in-person meeting format somehow. All right. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the steps discussed tonight. This evening, we will be discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. So we got it all packed into one. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have Vanessa and Ian from out of town. Appreciate y'all coming out. I will throw my screen up here in a second and read the first couple of paragraphs, and then each of our panel where we'll share a little bit each on each of the readings. So, right. All right, can y'all see that okay? Maybe give me a thumbs up. Awesome. All right. Steps 5, 6, and 7. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. The first reading is going to be on page 72. It says, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the 5th step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is no doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. the best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell ill. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. And that is it for our first reading. There we go. All right, whichever one of y'all would like to kick it off, go for it.
Do you want me to go, Vanessa? Do you want to go?
Go ahead.
You go.
Well, okay.
Go for it.
I'll start on this one. I'm going to make you start on some others. Hi, I'm Vanessa. I'm an alcoholic. It's so nice to be here with you guys. I just want to say quickly, I lived in Norfolk, Virginia for a couple years when I was in fifth and sixth grade, and it was my most favorite place to live and favorite time in my life because nobody was around, and I just ran around on Willoughby Spit on the beach and went to Mount Trashmore and the 17th Street Surf Shop, I remember. I don't know if those places are still there or what's going on, but I loved the Skater Boys. Oh my God. Even in fifth and sixth grade. So anyway, that's another story. So happy to be here in Virginia. And step five. So what's, you know, always, so I'll try to stick with just what we've read here so far. And you know, what stands out to me most here is like, first, the first thing is, it's telling us what we are getting from our inventory, you know, this new attitude, a new relationship with our creator, discovering the obstacles in our path to that relationship, right? This is stuff that we're excavating, you know, in our fourth step. We're finding all of these things, really these things that we are not, right? And we're discovering all of this in our fourth step and putting all of this together. And what we're going to be doing in this process is casting it out, like getting rid of all of these things and asking God to remove them, right? But what we first have to do is we first have to do 1 through 4, right? And so we have to get all of this stuff down. We have to see our powerlessness. We have to see that, you know, our lives have become unmanageable. You know, we have this physical, mental, spiritual dis-ease, you know, that we need a power greater than ourselves, you know, to help us with this, that we can turn, making that decision to turn everything over. And then taking the time to sit and write this stuff down. You know, pen to paper. That's where the truth comes out, you know? And for me, what happens when I'm doing my fourth step is it's really like my ego and my self-reliance comes out onto the paper the most. And then I need to like really kind of dig through all of that. And part of that is finding what they're talking about here, the exact nature of my defects. And nature, to me, that word is like essence. So it's like the root. Like this morning, I went and got acupuncture. And it doesn't matter if you believe in acupuncture or not. It was awesome. But it was like, she's putting all these needles in me. And I had told her like all these things that were going on and stuff that I wanted to, you know, get some help with and whatever. And I'm also going to a doctor for some things. And so I thought, you know, maybe this will help too. And so, you know, when we were done, she gave me some herbs to try. And she's like, these are like help with the kidney, because you know, that's the root. Once we address that, then we can work on these other things. And And I thought, you know, that's so interesting because of what we're talking about tonight. She's telling me I have to first address the root. So she's like, first we have to deal with the imbalance in your kidney. I don't know what she's talking about. It was all kind of acupuncture stuff, but whatever. I'm just going with it, you know? So, but it's basically that I have to get, she's talking about the foundation, the roots, right? And I have to like work on that. She said, first we have to get that because if you don't have that, the rest of it doesn't matter, doesn't work. And I was like, you know what? You're talking my language because this is what we're doing here. We have to get to the root so that we can really work on everything. So I have to see the nature of my defect. You know, it's like, okay, God, help me stop gossiping. Well, why am I gossiping? What's beneath that? Is there like a fear that I'm not good enough? Is there a fear of lack? You know, like what is, because that's what I really need help with is getting over that fear, right? Walking through that fear and not, it's not like, stop, help me stop. It's like, help me stop smoking. Help me stop drinking. You know, like what's beneath it? What's at the root, right? So that's, so those are some things that I learn in my fifth step. And I love that there's these warnings here too, like the solitary self-appraisal is insufficient, right? Because I'm like, oh yeah, I can write this down and then I'll just read it to myself. And I've heard people like that say in meetings, I've heard people share like, so I'm reading the big book and I'm doing steps and I'm just, I just, my eyes get big and I try to like watch my reaction, but it just kind of breaks my heart because I'm like, and I know they did that in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, in the old days, it was like they mailed this book out and people read it and they did it. And that's awesome. So I don't, you know, if somebody is doing that, that's great. But nowadays we have people that can help to take us through. And for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't, don't want to do it by myself because self, I can't do it. The self-appraisal, like, no. Mm-mm. I need to admit this to myself. Yes. I need to get honest with myself. Yes. But how honest can I get with my own perception? Like my perception is just whack, is false. You know, like I've learned that. So I'll tell you a story later about that. But the, you know, it's, to me, that's a really good point. Like I really need, I need another view of things. I also like this warning. If we skip this vital step, life-giving step, we may not overcome drinking, right? So it's not that like we just kind of listen, maybe think of some things and then keep going. It's like, I really need to do this. I need to do this excavation because like I said, like for me, it's like all that stuff that, ugh, you know, that's in the way, that's blocking me from my higher power. My higher power that page 55 tells me is inside me. It is in me. That spirit is in me. But if I'm blocked up with all this fear, anxiety, self-reliance, bleh, all that stuff, then I'm not going to hear clearly. I won't be able to in 11, as it tells me, use my brain with assurance, right? So I can't skip this step. I have to do this step. And then I guess the last thing I'll say about this particular section is just the being humble, you know, like thinking I'd lost my egotism and fear, thinking I, you know, that I thought I had humbled myself. Like I need to learn that. And part of that humility is like, really, I can't take those secrets with me. Like all those secrets, I need to say them to God, my higher power. I need to say them to my sponsor. Like that's what this is about. I admit these things to myself, to someone else, and to my higher power. And I really do that. I really take my fifth step and I do that, you know? So I read it to myself first, I read it to my higher power, and I share it with a sponsor. And they help me to go through this. And then we'll talk about more of that, but I'll pass it over to Ian. What do you think, Ian? What do you think about these paragraphs?
I'll tell you what I think about it. I think you did a great job.
Thank you. Really.
And the cool thing about tonight is that you probably couldn't have hit Vanessa and I up at a better time because she just did a fifth step and I'm in the middle of a workshop that I'm taking 15 people through. And in the last 2.5 weeks, I've heard 12 of the 15 fifth steps. So, and I'm still in the process of finishing them. And one of the things Vanessa touched on, which is really critical to me, is the way back in the beginning, the powerlessness, because I have to really, I'm not going to have a proper fifth step if I'm not rooted in my first step. If I don't truly see the dilemma that when I start, I can't control the stop, and then I have a problem, I can't stay stuck.
stopped. So if I take a second, just think about that, that I can't stay stopped. And because I can't stay stopped, I'm going to start. And when I start, I can't stop. That's a real problem. And so if I don't understand what would be conducive for me to think it's okay to pick up, and if I don't really see the depth and weight of the powerless of my first step, I'm probably not going to finish my fourth step. I may never even really understand the third step. And I'm surely going to be grading my own papers in this fifth step. And when it comes time to do 8 and 9 next week, I'm not going to make amends because I might not really have the true hopelessness. And then the other thing that I really always like to touch on here, especially when I'm giving someone, when I have the honor of hearing a fifth step, is I have to understand what's this process about? What's this book about? You know, because some people want to feel better, but they never get better. And they never understand what they're really doing. I have people come to me constantly. They're looking for new experience. Can I take them through the big book? Can we go through the 12 steps? You know, and what's wrong with the experience you had? Maybe you just never understood what's this process about. And the true thing, it's not about not drinking anymore. It's about enabling me to find a power greater than myself, which is going to solve my problem. We leave the drink question aside long ago, and we look at why living is unsatisfactory. So until I can clearly understand that part of it, I have a hard time hearing a fifth step and explaining that. So I have to then understand the next thing. Why am I writing? Vanessa hit it home. Why am I writing a fourth step? And it's people think they're writing a fourth step to look at all the stuff they did bad in their life. And I don't like, when I'm sponsoring someone or taking someone through, I make it clear to them that we're writing a fourth step for one reason only. In the third step, I had to be convinced that my life run on self-will was not successful. So the only way I'm going to be convinced of that is to see it in black and white on paper. So I'm really writing a fourth step to see what self-will blocked me off from access to power. This is nothing about anything about, this is the best I could do on my own power. This is what my life looked like disconnected from a relationship with God. Point blank, fear-driven life, self-centered fears that drove my conduct and motives in relationships. It drove my resentments. And it's important to understand that because Vanessa said a powerful word for me is what's the nature? See, people talk about character defects and stuff. Well, for me, the character defect isn't just an external reaction. Just like if you look at the bedevilment on page 52, you can't see spiritual separation any better than you could see the wind outside. But what I can see when I'm separated from spirit is I'm having trouble with relationships. I'm full of fear. I can't make the life that I'm satisfied with. I'm prey to misery and depression, et cetera, et cetera. And my character defects are the external result of self-centered fear. And Vanessa just slammed it when she said that. So these are the things that I'm really trying to focus on. And really what I really want to see is when I have somebody write the first thing, first and foremost, which was done for me, is that I get the inventory. Now I'm going to come from a place of hearing a fifth step. And someone's ready for me to hear their fifth step. And generally speaking, I've already heard most of it before they even get to this point, because I work with them through the first, I work with them extensively in the resentment inventory. I work with them deep in the fears. And then for me, the sex inventory is just my conduct and motives in all my relationships. Because for me, it's hard to label it a sex inventory, because there's probably people on this call that have been married for 40, 50 years, maybe never had another person in their life. So how are they going to write about their sex conduct if they've only been with one person? So I have to look at this as, what's my conduct and motive in all my relationships? How did I get into them and how do I exit them? So when that's all done and I sit down with somebody, I give them two quick assignments. The first thing I do is I give them a blank piece of paper if we're face-to-face sitting. And I tell them, I'm going to get a cup of coffee and I want you to write down everything you weren't going to tell me. Because there's stuff that's not in inventory that's deep down inside, the nook and cranny, the stuff that's deep and that's the stuff that's going to take me down. See, resentment's the number one offender, but I'll tell you what, you know, and I'm okay. This is recorded because this is my story, but I woke up at 13 years old on my stomach with an orthodontist on top of me. And I buried that for 30 years. And that would have taken me down if I didn't have somebody that was awake enough to say, Ian, it's okay. You didn't have, the only thing you did wrong here was not tell anybody about it and just push it down inside of you. So I need to work and make someone comfortable enough to write down, okay, this is what's happened. This is what I've done. And let's get that out of the way. And the rest is history. The rest is just what's blocking me from God. And then the second thing that I like them to look at is I like them to take a little bit of time in their inventory and look at the behaviors that they saw that were objectionable. Because I may have done a lot of stuff disconnected from God, but I may be okay with it too. You know, I may have a reason to hold on to it. There may be a value to some stuff, you know, some of my anger and other stuff that may have been showing up in my life. So in order to cast out, like Vanessa said, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to kind of work around it. We want to see the nature of our defects. We want to see the trouble and we want to cast it out so that we can have this new attitude, this new relationship. And, you know, the one thing that also Vanessa brought up with was, and I briefed over it quickly, is that if I grade my own papers, I'm giving myself an A. Even though I don't deserve it, I'm giving it to me. You know, it's just where I'm at. And then on the top of 73, and it ends with all my life story. So all my life story includes the stuff that's outside of my inventory. All my life story includes stuff that I may have done without a resentment. I may have had happen to me that I don't know even how to talk about it or address it. And then, you know, here's something, and this is a huge warning. Now, I'm just going to share my own experience on this. And normally, if I was speaking, like doing this, I'd say a set aside prayer, because I'm going to share my experience and Vanessa's going to share her experience. And if it's different from your experience, I don't want you to be blocked off and not listen anymore because you're so concerned about what you do is different from us. It doesn't matter. There's no monopoly on God here. This is just a path that worked for me and Vanessa. And it may not work for everybody. And it's okay too. If you can have freedom and a spiritual experience sufficient enough to overcome alcoholism, rock on. It's just a path that I'm on. And so it tells me, okay, here's something that I see a lot. And I've been around a little while. And you hear people going out with 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And someone says, oh, Mary, Billy, Ian, oh, they, can you believe they went out? And the first thing that everyone always says is, oh, they stopped going to meetings, right? Well, what if they're in an area where there are no meetings? I spend 5 months a year in the UK, and there's 3 meetings within an hour and a half drive. So if somebody can't go to one of those meetings, you can say they stopped going to meetings. I don't buy that. This is what I buy. That they persevered with part of the program, but they never completed their house cleaning. They hung on to some inventory that was rotten. And my sponsor always says this to me, you can clean out your refrigerator and put all new food in, but if you leave one rotten tomato long enough, it's gonna rotten the rest of what's in the refrigerator. So if there's something deep inside that wasn't going, and then there's other stuff that happens also, some fears that crop in, and generally speaking, most people that end up relapsing after long periods of sobriety, for me, are living on an experience they had long ago, and they're not really in 10, 11, and 12, and following the really crux of this problem that someone will explain later. So with that, I'll let you guys read more and then turn it over to Vanessa.
Thank you both so much. That was awesome. All right. I'm going to pull up the next readings. All right, here we go. Next reading is going to be on page 73. Why it's moving so quick. There we go. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. Right? Vanessa?
That's it?
That's it for this one.
Okay. All right. Well, so, you know, for me, this what I was thinking of as you were reading is the first part, I was thinking of pages 60 to 63. I was thinking about the actor and the director and, you know, that the way that I do my four-step inventory has an extended third column and we look at all the different areas of self and I look at those, how I approach those areas from the highest self-esteem, you know, like I am the best and my sister is a jerk and she should treat me better, you know, and like I am the best sister in the world and how could she treat me like that? And you know, I need her to be nice to me, you know, in order for me to be okay and show me love, you know, whatever, all those things that I am, you know, I am the greatest, you know, and that is what I thought of in when you were reading this first part here. And the second part I was thinking not only of drinking sprees, but I was thinking about emotional sprees. I was thinking about how even sober, I can fall into this paragraph. And that's a dangerous place to be, right? And I have to be revolted. I have to be revolted by this inventory by the time I'm done with it, right? Because, and I want to be, we want to be in that place where we're revolted. Not, that's different though than shamed, right? Like, I don't want to feel shame, embarrassment. Like, I'm always really careful with my sponsees, like, because sometimes you're going through this and it just, ugh, and the stuff comes up. You know, I did, like Ian mentioned, I did a fifth step. Was that yesterday? Yesterday. Seems so long ago. And there were a few moments where we had to stop. And my sponsor instructed me, stop, breathe, you know, and the tears were coming down. And, you know, I have 15 years, I've done a lot of inventories. And I still have those moments, you know, and apparently I don't breathe when I'm talking about something I don't like to talk about. So she had me stop and breathe. And, you know, it was really amazing because we both put our hands on our hearts. God is here, all is well. And just, we just breathe together, you know, and it was really beautiful. And it helped me just to kind of get through and continue. The other thing she said to me is, don't edit, read what you wrote, which I loved, you know, and I think that's a good instruction also. But why was I saying that? Why I was saying that, I don't remember. But anyway, because part of it is because what I need to be revolted by is all this stuff that was blocking me from my higher power. I have to look at that and go, ew, like gross. I don't want that in me, you know? And Ian kind of touched on this a little bit too about, you know, some of those things, like those attitudes, like they protected me, you know, at one time. It doesn't work anymore. I don't need it, you know? And this is the stuff I want cast out. I want it, I just want all of this out of the way. Because the thing is once I can look and see all of these defects or, you know, really what's objectionable, like Ian mentioned, when I can look and see like, what is my objectionable behavior here? And I can cast that stuff out and ask God to remove those, ask my higher power to remove those things. What I'm left with is the truth. I'm left with the truth of who I am, right? And I start to feel that even before I've really worked through 6 and 7, I start to feel that as after I've given this away to myself, my higher power and my sponsor, the levity comes. I was high last night, you know, like after doing this, I felt so light. I was like levitating, you know, and I talked to Ian at one point. He's like, you know, go sit down, do your thing, you know, because I was like, really, I had taken a moment before I called him, but you know, I like, and for me, it's like, you know, we're going to get into this, but we talk about, you know, what we do after and taking that time after. And I did it a little differently yesterday. I have to say, it's like, I took my time. I thanked my higher power. I sat with my higher power for a moment. And then I was like, man, am I hungry? And it was like, I needed to comfort and like give myself that little kid inside that had just told all this stuff. There was one thing I told that I had never told and talked to anyone about because I just didn't think about it. It wasn't that I was holding it. It just was something I just never really thought to express in an inventory. And I did, and it was really amazing. And I just was like, yeah, that little kid needs some sustenance, you know? And I just knew I needed to take care of myself. And that, you know, that's part of this whole process is recognizing what it is that I need. And so I was able to like, you know, chat with Ian, make my dinner, have that, and then do the rest of what I needed to do for my 6 and 7 steps, you know? So it was like, and even that, you know, I'm jumping ahead, but what we're working towards here, it's like, it was progress, not perfection, right? But now we're kind of aiming toward perfection. We don't necessarily get perfection. Maybe some people do, but I think we aim toward that. And we're going to talk about that when we get into 6. So I'm going to pass it to Ian because I want to get into the good stuff here.
Yes, ma'am. And I've got to tell you guys, I love this format, like doing this with Vanessa. It's so much fun, like back and forth and just different perspectives. And I'm going to talk real quick about this because really what we love to do, I know Vanessa like that too, is we love 6 and 7. And that's why we listen to a 5th step is from the perspective of 6 and 7, because what am I bringing into my 6th step and what am I bringing into my 7? So Vanessa touched on something that's really critical to me, the stage character. And see, and we do this extended third column, and see in the 3rd step, we ask God to take away our difficulties, but what am I asking him to take away if I don't even understand what they are? And really what the difficulties are, see earlier in the book in the fear inventory, it tells me that the difficulties are bracketed alongside the fears with Mr. Jones, Mrs. Brown, the employer, the wife, whatever. And really what the difficulties are how I react to my self-esteem, my pride, my ambition, my security. It's not my self-esteem or my pride. It's what Vanessa said, my high esteem of who I really think I am and how you should see me. And it says here, I need the outer world to see my stage character. And here's something to take into consideration that Vanessa brought into the picture. When we talked about on 60 to 63, you know, we talked about the actor being the director, but is he not really the producer? Because it says at the end, aren't we really a producer of confusion rather than harmony when we're the actor trying to be the director, and we circle all the way back to a producer? And, you know, the last thing I'll say on this next paragraph down talks about fear and tension that makes for more drinking. Way back in the beginning of our big book, in the doctor's opinion, it tells me that I'm restless, irritable, and discontent unless I can once again get that sense of ease and comfort, which I see from that first drink, which I see others taking with impunity. And the key there is that, you know, when I succumb to the desire, the obsession, I trigger the phenomenon of craving, the allergy. So it's telling me in the beginning of the 4th step too, when the spiritual maladies overcome,
I can straighten out mentally and physically. So if I never straighten out the fear and tension, I'm going to set up a condition conducive for the mental obsession to return, and then I'll find myself drinking again. So this is why we're doing this, to bring this stuff into six and seven. And it's, and the reason we'll see this, it's only two paragraphs, because it's really 75 pages back, just coming right to the head there to have a whole shift. So let's do some more reading so we can get into the real good stuff.
Thank you both. All right, our next readings are going to be on page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And that's it for now. I know y'all are trying to get down there. We're getting close.
Okay, thank you so much for reading. One thing I'll say about this first paragraph that we read was choosing the person. I mean, I've never not done my inventory with a sponsor or a guide in a workshop. You know, those are the people I've done my fifth steps with. I think generally speaking, nowadays, that is who people do their fifth steps with. You know, when this book was written, they didn't have sponsors yet necessarily, because it was like the beginning of the program, right? So some people might have gone to maybe a religious person that they work with, or maybe a counselor or a mentor or something, someone, you know, maybe they did it together. I'm not even sure. Maybe Ian knows a little more about that. But nowadays, I think most people do go to their sponsor. However, and it touches on this in the page that we skipped, but I'm not going to share something. I'm not necessarily going to take a resentment about my sponsor to my sponsor. I might share that with someone else. I think it's probably, it depends on your situation and what you're doing. I also have had sponsees. I had a sponsee who had some significant trauma in her life, and she felt she wanted to share those parts with her therapist. And I was like, that's fantastic, you know, because she knew how to take care of herself and she was honest about that. And I encouraged her to do that, right? So I'll just say that for me, it's if I want people to be entirely honest, we must be, it says in the page before that we must be entirely honest. It doesn't have to be with me, right? So if my sponsee is like, you know, this part I'd really rather read with my therapist, I'm like, great. Hopefully they have a therapist that's familiar with the 12 steps, because that will help, right? But I'm not going to push somebody to do that. And then we have what are often referred to, and I refer to as like the fifth step promises, right? And we pocket our pride, I think also is a big statement. I want to touch on that. Just like we pocket our pride, illuminating every twist of character. I love that, illuminating. So we're bringing light, right? We're bringing light. Every dark cranny of the past, right? So all those dark, dark things, those things, the cobwebs, all of that, we're down there, like, this is what I think of excavating, like with the flashlight and the shovel, and like, we're going in the cave, you know, we've got like our little hats with the lights on them and stuff like that. And we're like digging all this stuff out, right? I am finding the gold. I'm finding the truth, right? How do we get there? We got to clear all this other stuff away. So once we do that, once we've taken this step, withholding nothing. It doesn't say like withholding a little bit. No, it says withholding nothing. We are delighted. And we can look the world in the eye. You know, it's true. It's like we can just, it's like you just lifted, like I was talking about before. Fears fall from us. I love this. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience, because I'm now actually having an experience with the literature, with my higher power, with my sponsor. You know, I'm having these experiences with myself, my true self, right? I'm experiencing my true self maybe for the first time. You know, I mean, that's pretty powerful. Make sure you don't have to do anything really strenuous after your fifth step. But you know, it's like these are really powerful promises. So I'm going to just toss it over to Ian so we can keep going.
Okay, so real quick, because I'm going to take the fifth on most of this, because Vanessa did a great job, is take into consideration two things I'm going to ask you. One, you're at this point in your recovery. You're doing your fifth step. Do you still believe this is a life and death errand? Do you still, again, what I started with, do you see your first step problem? Do you believe you drink to die? Because if you don't, maybe you got to go back to the first step again. And this is because these promises will only come true if you do what Vanessa said, illuminating every twist of character. And here's one thing. Vanessa brought it up in the right when she started. If you believe in this book and you believe in this process, on page 55, it tells us that a fundamental idea of God is deep down within us. And then it says it's obscured, or it's clouded with calamity, pomp, and worship of other things. So again, we're writing our fourth step to see the stuff that's doing that to us. And by the time we get to this point, it says we begin to feel, see, he's always there. By the time we get to the 11th step, we're improving this conscious contact, this awakened contact. Now it's, you know, God's no, if for me, if God wasn't with me the whole time, I'd be dead. You know, he had a different plan. That's just my experience. So I'm going to stop there and let you keep reading so we can get going.
Awesome. Thank you both. And would you all prefer that I do these last two readings together? That way it gives you as much time as possible.
Yes, please. Awesome. Please.
I got you. All right. Oops. I need to make that a little smaller for myself. All right. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. And last reading on page 76, when ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step seven.
Thanks, Morgan. And Ian, feel free to jump in, to, you know, so we can attack this.
I'm going to let Vanessa share. I just want to say one thing before she starts, because the top of 76 says if we can answer something to our satisfaction. Yeah. So I'm going to let Vanessa share. What do we have to answer before we can even get to that point?
Did I answer these questions?
Want me to do it and then you lead from there?
Yeah, I want you to do it because I'm looking at it.
Okay, so on the top of 76.
Before.
Right, right. So we go back. Is our work solid? Go ahead, you go for it.
Yeah, so we're looking at these questions before. Sorry, Ian, I was like looking at the wrong thing that you were reading there. We go back to the page before here on 75, and we have to answer those questions, right? So have we answered those questions to our satisfaction? Is our work, the questions are here at 75. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? And part of the stuff that we're looking at here is bottom of page 363, we talk about the arch. The cornerstone, just in case you want to know, is on page 47. Am I willing to believe? Am I willing to believe? And I can even begin to picture this, right? So I have the foundation of willingness. I have am I willing to believe? I have these cornerstones of what in the arch that I'm building, that I'm going to be walking through in this step. God can take me further, right? My higher power is going to take me further. That keystone in this arch. So I look at this and say, have I done all this work? Have I put these things in place? I can go back and look through my work. Have I recognized, like Ian's saying, about the powerlessness? Have I really gotten that? You know, and go back through the steps. So I look when I'm going back and I'm pulling this book down from the shelf and I'm looking at the proposals prior to this step, at each and every one, and I'm saying, did I do this? Like, have I really admitted my powerlessness? Do I have a concept of a higher power? Have I made that decision? God is everything. Have I done that? I can look at all of these things and have I been honest with all of my work here? There have been times where I've pulled that book down and I've remembered another thing that needed to go onto my inventory. And so I've called up my sponsor and said, I got one more, you know? So I look through and I see that. And what I've been instructed to do and I do is I take this time. I sit, I go through my inventory, I look at what was objectionable, and I usually write it in the top corner so it's quick for me to see. I see what's objectionable in my inventory, and I really sit with that, and I picture, you know, I picture myself, and I picture my higher power. I usually pretend like I'm in a place where I can be safe with my higher power, and I really just sit, and I ask for my higher power to take these things. Just take these things that I find objectionable. I don't need them anymore. Thank you, and I don't need them anymore. And I picture this arch that I've built after I've gone through those proposals and looked really honestly, looked at them and seen where am I in my program? How have I done here? And I picture that arch. And what I was taught was even like maybe even sit somewhere where there is an arch or sit somewhere where there is a door. And I've been taught to like actually open that and walk through it and really just like make it, you know, signify almost like going to our knees, like in that same kind of vain, like actually walking through the arch to be free. I can be free, you know, and just signifying that I'm letting go and now I want to be free of all of this. But I do also, I skipped the, when I'm looking at those things and seeing, are these things objectionable? I also want to look, am I clinging to something? You know, when I first did my first fifth, sixth, seventh, I was like, okay, I kind of just did it. It was almost like by rote. And I just sort of was like, okay, yeah, God, can you take this? And I really just wanted to take a nap, you know, like I just kind of did what the book said, you know, and then I was like, okay, now I'm going to take a nap. And that was it. And it, I don't know that I got a whole lot of relief. I think I got some, but I didn't get a whole lot of relief. And that's okay. That's where I was at. And I know I'm going to do it again. So, you know, it's okay. But that was in my like first, second year, maybe, of sobriety. And, you know, and I did have to go back and do some work there, You know, it was revealed very quickly in my 8th step that I needed to do some more work in the 4th and 5th. So, you know, it's okay if it's not done perfectly, but we do try, right? And sitting and getting quiet. Now that I've cleared all of that stuff, I can sit with the truth of myself and have that spiritual awakening. You know, I'm waking up to myself, to who I really am. And so I can sit in quiet and really honestly look at myself and be with my higher power. And what I like to do, to be honest, this kind of sounds a little weird maybe, but I'm going to let you know. I actually pretend like my higher power has a hand, you know, and even though I don't really think of my higher power as a person, but I consider it like a hand or like guiding me through that arch. So it's like we're going together and then we're kind of like skipping through the hills and whatever. Yeah. It becomes a whole Sound of Music scene. It's really great. But anyway, that's me and my higher power. My higher power is really capital F friend. So we get real, you know, we get down. We like, you know, we're hanging out a lot. We talk a lot. That's just how me and my higher power are. We're homies, you know, we like have dinner together. You know, we do all kinds of stuff together. So, you know, this is what I've learned to do, is have this experience with my higher power, right? And that's because of this work, because of going through this. Oh my gosh, I just saw the time. I didn't really touch on 7 yet, but I'm gonna let Ian take it and he can wrap that all up.
I'm gonna talk fast and give you a chance to close it with a little 7 too. So, because there's not a lot more I can add except, when I take the book down off the shelf and when I tell people, I bring them right back to the ABCs too. And I ask them a couple of serious questions. Not, are you powerless, but have you conceded to your innermost self you're an alcoholic? Because it tells me that's the first step. And then, do I see the unmanageability in my life? Have I seen it? Is it clear as day in my 4th step? And am I 100% convinced that no human power can do this? Because if I believe human power can do it, again, I'm going to be blocked from getting through that archway that Vanessa beautifully explained. And that, you know, what this is going to show me right here is see that God could and would if he were sought. Because once, and again, there's nowhere, there's something, like my experience, it's not yours, no worries, but I looked at this book a lot. And I don't see where it tells me I have to work on my character defects. Like, that's what people talk about. I'm working on my character defects. Well, for me to work on my character defects would be to lie, cheat, and steal. Then what I'm looking at here is the behaviors I find objectionable and when I'm ready to change. So the question I would ask you is, are you willing to change? Because this step is not, and this is where David, I wanted to explain, this is just not for 6 and 7. This is for 10. Because what's the purpose of watching for stuff to crop up if I'm going to keep watching for the same stuff over and over again if I'm never bringing it back into 6 and 7 to change? I'll be doing the same 10 step for the rest of my life until I either die or pick up. So this is really critical. I have to be willing, because when I'm willing to change, if I'm not, I have to pray and ask God the prayer right here to help me be willing. But the 7th step is real critical. It says, when ready. When ready for what? When ready for to, you know what? I look at this as like as a kid, when your parents pushed you on the bicycle for the first time and they just pushed you off and let you go and you start riding, or off a diving board into a pool. I look at this step like God's pushing me off a high dive with one hand, but his other hand is catching me so I don't fall, you know, because this is where we step from bridge to shore. This is, you know, in the 2nd step that talks about, is God everything or nothing? What's my choice to be? For me, it's not a quantitative measure. It's a relationship issue. And here's where the relationship locks in, because I don't have to do anything at this point. All I have to do is be ready and ask God to take all of me, good, bad, my judgment of everything. I'm out of the judgment business. I'm out of every business at this point. All I need to do is ask God every day to take away what he thinks stands in the way of my usefulness to him. It's nothing about me anymore. Some of my worst character defects are my biggest assets today when God wants to work them
on an any day basis. So don't short sell steps 6 and 7, because if you do, you'll never have proper 10 steps and you'll be living wondering why I got to keep writing 4th steps. So I'm going to let Vanessa, she's got 5 minutes, she's going to bring us home. Thank you guys for letting me share tonight.
Thanks, Ian. I like to look at, when I'm doing this work, sometimes I like to look at kind of the end result sometimes, you know, and I just want to tell you a quick story. And it kind of fits and it kind of doesn't, but it's a little more 10-steppy maybe, but like Ian just said, this is all related. And I'll make it quick. So at it was Christmas Day and I was going to visit my 8-year-old niece and my sister. And my brother lives in my building. So we were gonna take a car out there together. And we had a plan. I said, I'll make some breakfast at 9. We'll eat and then we'll take the car out there. And they live in Brooklyn, I'm in Manhattan. And you know, I wake up in the morning and my brother isn't answering my calls. I go outside, I buzz his buzzer, we live in an apartment building. I don't get any answer. So he's slept, okay, he's overslept. So in the past, I wrote inventory on this. I would have gotten really mad at him and I would have gone up there and I would have been like very angry, go into his apartment, I have his key. I would have been really angry. I would have screamed and like thrown a fit, and it would have been a horrible way to start the day. Like what a terrible way for someone to wake up who's overslept, right? And I would have done that to him. And I learned that in my inventory. So what did I do instead? So I gave it some time. I called my sister. I said, you know, it looks like we're gonna be running a little late. Is that okay? Yes, that's okay, she said. So I took the breakfast I had made. I ate mine, I did do that. I took care of myself. And then I took the rest and I put it on a tray and I went up to my brothers and I said, good morning, Merry Christmas. I brought your breakfast. And he's like, oh no, I woke up late. And I was like, it's okay, don't worry. Everything's fine, have your breakfast, it's all good, right? I go downstairs, good job, Vanessa, woo, I won, yay, right? Well, not too fast, because what happened was he's like, I'll be down in an hour. He wasn't down in an hour. And I'm waiting and I'm getting a little antsy and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm getting a little antsy, but it's okay. It's okay. Everything's fine. My sister had said, it's fine. We're good. We're good. Then I get a text from my sister. Where are you guys? It's after 12 already. And I said, okay, I'm going to get a car. She said, finally. Whew. I was like, my heart was beating. I'm going like this. Oh my gosh. So I order a car. I text my brother. I said, the car is coming in 10 minutes. We got to go. And he's like, I'm not ready. And he's like, I need more time. And I was like, well, I can hold the car and then you can come down. He's like, just go. And I was like, oh, I made him mad. Oh my God. Or wait, okay, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I'll just go. He's going to be fine. He can get in the car. So I go to my sister's. I'm like, I have all my stuff. I'm like, I feel a little bit bad because, you know, I had done such a good job, but now I'm not so sure, whatever. Okay, that's okay. Let me go upstairs. I see my 8-year-old niece at the door. And suddenly I had a thought and I said, Stella, did you take your mommy's phone and text me this morning? And she said, yes. Those texts, those angry texts, where are you? When are you coming? Those were from my 8-year-old niece. They were not from my sister. So I had reacted, right? This is a little bit Al-Anon too, but okay. You know, I had reacted and I took action based off this fear reaction, right? That my sister was mad at us, right? And I raced out. And then there was my niece. Now, thank goodness, this is an 8-year-old who's the cutest thing in the whole wide world. And it was Christmas Day. And I was able to call my brother and say, hey, I'm so sorry. This is what happened. We all laughed about it. But let me just tell you one more tiny quick thing. What happened was then throughout the rest of the day, I was able to see that my perception was effed up, right? So when my brother-in-law opened his present from me and he, to me, didn't like it, I was like, nope, not today. Cause I am not perceiving things properly today. Do not go there, Vanessa. And I just turned my head and moved along the rest of my day, right? Because first of all, I was wrong. But like in that moment in the past, I'd be like, what's wrong? You don't like your present, you know? And it was like, I was able to just turn your head, keep going, you know, keep moving. Cause my perception is wrong today. It is wrong today. I did it 3 more times the rest of that day. And you know what? We had a fabulous Christmas. So I hope that makes sense. And it really helps me just because I have to pray for God to remove all of these defects of character, every single one. And it doesn't mean they're not going to come back. They might come back. And I can tell you that day I was praying my butt off. So it worked. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you both so much. That was an awesome meeting in a very fast hour. I could have kept going, but our time is up. Right. All right, we're gonna pass the 7th tradition PayPal button basket. I believe David has put the link to the PayPal donate button in the chat. The 7th tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the 7th tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Do we have any quick announcements? Grant, hold on, I'll give you all unmute. Can you do it now, Grant?
Grant, I'm an alcoholic. Meeting on Thursday night, Mid-Atlantic Group, 6:45. That guy with the cool Expos hat speaking. It'll be awesome. Come out and join us. I have the information primed in the chat. When the chat opens up, I'll send it to y'all. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Grant. Also, I will say, because I don't hear anybody else or see anybody else raising their hand, the District 14 Norfolk is holding a concepts workshop where we're having a speaker go over each of the concepts that corresponds with the month. So this month, it is a second concept, and that will be this Wednesday, February 24th. And we're going to have Dave H. from Virginia Beach coming out to speak. And the link for that is going to be on the Tidewater Intergroup website. So I hope to see y'all there. It's going to be a blast. The last one was awesome. And I don't think that I see anybody else. Anything? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Will all home group members please raise their hands? Thanks, y'all. Sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be here in the Zoom room after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. And if you're shy, you can also send an email to info@simpleactions.net. In closing, I want to thank our panel again. That was amazing. I will allow everybody to unmute afterwards. And I've asked BJ to read the last two paragraphs on page 164, which I will.
My name's BJ. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Vanessa and Ian. That was really good.
Second, BJ. I don't know what I just did here.
No worries.
It's not. Somehow I have one tiny box and only you're in it. This is very.
I have okay, my book.
There we go. Okay. We made it. We're good. It just, that was weird. All right. There you go. Sorry about that.
No worries, man. A vision for you, big book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
EJ, and we'll close it up with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, awesome, Ian. Ian. Thanks, Vanessa. Thank you, Ian. It was Thank great. You,
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you,
I'm running to much. Catch a plane. Yeah.
Okay. Vanessa, see you next week.
Thank you, Ian. Y'all for sharing.
Let Vanessa take all the accolades.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You both. 10 minutes away.